Morning. How are we doing today? Well, that wasn't very good. You said good, but I'm not buying. How are we doing this morning? We're good. All right. Yeah, Merry Christmas. It's coming, huh? Absolutely. Well, it is good to see you. We are in week two of our series called Unwrapping the Gift of Christmas. And this morning we're going to unwrap the gift, if you will, of a purpose-filled life. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Isaiah 61 with me. Take your note sheets out. You can follow along as we go through the passage this morning. This past week, I read an article about a kid who went to camp one summer, and it rained for a couple of days while they were there. But finally, the sun was out, and the ground was still super muddy from the rain. And the cabin counselor was going to take the boys swimming in the lake. But before he did that, he decided to let these boys have like a mud fight. And needless to say, the boys had a blast, and they smeared mud everywhere and all over themselves, and they just made it like a tremendous mess. During all of that was going on, one kid kept running back and forth from where the mud was to a table, and he kept piling mud on this table and made a big mound on the table, and then he would stuff his face into the mound of mud. And the camp counselor was like, "What in the world are you doing?" He said, "I'm making a plaster impression of my face for my mom." So while everybody else was messing around having fun, this kid was trying to make something out of the mud. And I thought, isn't that how it is with our lives? Some of us spend days in the mud and all we do is get muddy. Others are just as muddy as everybody else, but they end up producing what? Value. And so I think that's how God intended it to be. Like he wants us to accomplish something while we're on this earth. And life is more of a project than it is a party. And Jesus came to this earth knowing that he had something to accomplish, and he did just that. Luke 19, verse 10, he said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." In this verse, Jesus explains why he extended friendship to a notorious sinner like Zacchaeus. See, Jesus came precisely to save people like Zacchaeus. He came to save us as well. It's why he died on the cross for our sins through his death and resurrection. We experience new life. And at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus gave a more detailed description of his mission when in a worship service in a synagogue on a Sabbath morning, he read from the book of Isaiah, and the passage he read was a prophecy about the Messiah. And after he read the passage, he said to the congregation, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled." In other words, these verses are what? About me, he said. And the passage that he read was Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4. And it is a point-by-point description of the messianic mission, of what Jesus came to do. And we're going to look at it closely and examine Isaiah's prophecy compared to the life of Jesus. And we'll see that connection. Also, when we read Isaiah and observe the ministry of Jesus, we see the principles of a purpose-filled life put into practice. Jesus came to this earth with a mission, and he fulfilled it. He lived his life on purpose, on mission, if you will. And I think the key to living on mission is to help people for when we do that, when we help people and we do things that benefit others, that is what gives our life significance. And frankly, if your life isn't defined by a desire to help others, then ultimately, you end up just getting muddy. Today, as we look at this passage from Isaiah, Their verses not only define the mission of the Messiah, but they define the mission of the church and the mission of each and every follower of Jesus. And ideally, the life of every person here this morning that's a follower of Christ could be summed up the same way the Apostle Peter summed up the life of Jesus in Acts 10, verse 38. He said, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." That's what the church should be doing as well, right? When the rest of the world looks at what we do and what we've accomplished, they should say the church went about doing good. Right? They made something out of mud. And so this morning we're going to look at this passage and we're going to see three elements of living a life of purpose. So the first one is this, is that you have a mission to accomplish. The prophet Isaiah said this, chapter 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Man, here Isaiah prophetically speaks for the Messiah, and the Messiah announces that he is blessed and empowered by the Spirit of the Lord God. The Messiah announces that he is here to heal the damage that sin brings. And sin has done great damage. And so there needs to be a great work of redemption. And because sin impoverishes, he will preach good tidings to the poor. Because sin breaks hearts, he will heal the brokenhearted. Because sin makes captives, he will proclaim liberty to the captives. And the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And these words are written about the ministry of Jesus, and they apply to us as well, because God has called us to continue the work that Jesus began. And in the book of Acts, it opens with this phrase, "In the first book, O Theophilus." And the first book he's referring to is the Gospel of Luke. In Acts 1:1, he says this, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach." And I think the key part there is that phrase, "began to do." He reminds us in Luke, where he describes the beginning of the work. And then in the book of Acts, the works continue. And now Jesus has called us to even continue that work farther. And each and every follower of Jesus has received the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that last week. And each and every follower has been anointed by God to carry on the work in some way. I like John Piper's book, "Don't Waste Your Life," because it teaches us how to live for Christ. And we all have a purpose to fulfill, a mission to carry out. It's one of God's greatest gifts to his people. And you and I are not here merely just to take up space. We are not merely just biding our time until God calls us to heaven. We've been given a task and the power and the resources to fulfill that task. What I'm trying to say this morning is that your life has meaning. And what you do matters. You have something of value to contribute to the big picture of God's grand design. And you might say, "God's grand design, really? Well, like, I work in fast food, or I'm on the bottom rung of the leadership ladder at work. What do I have to offer God's grand design?" Here's what I know. God will use you whenever, wherever you are, to touch lives in ways that you have never imagined possible. Jill Briscoe once wrote that her mother-in-law was used only one time to bring somebody to Christ. And that someone was Jill's husband, Stuart Briscoe. When he was 7 years old, his mother explained to him what it means to be a follower of Christ. Stuart asked Jesus to come into his life, and that little boy was saved. Fast forward many years, and that little boy became a great man of God. His ministry spanned the globe with books that have been read by millions. Thousands and thousands of people have come to Christ through his ministry. There is no such thing in God's grand design as "I'm just fill in the blank." Right? The word justice, just, it doesn't belong. Wherever you are, whatever you are, whoever you are, God can use you in a mighty way. He has a plan for your life. And you've been filled with His Spirit and anointed by Him to continue the work that Jesus has called us to do as His followers. Brings us to point number two this morning. It tells us a little bit more about the purpose that God has placed on your life. And that is, you have a message to proclaim. Isaiah tells us that the Messiah will come preaching good news, proclaiming liberty and release, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. And the gospel is good news. It has the power to confront a life destroyed by sin and transform it into something new. And no matter how negative the situation is, the gospel offers hope. And that's really our message to the world, isn't it? That the gospel offers hope. As we interact with people in our sphere of influence, we have a message of hope. And I get we all sin, and I get our world is a mess. But I also understand that Jesus came into our world to save us from our sin. With the very same sins that are wreaking havoc in your life and making you miserable, Jesus came to set us free. Like an inmate being released from prison. Like a POW being freed from captivity. Our message is not that your life is a mess and the world is a mess. Our message is that the gospel is for us, and it's a message of hope. And it's that we serve a God who has the power to put things back together or to sustain us through difficult times. It's a powerful message. And there are many people who feel utterly hopeless right now. And it is the gospel that gives us a reason to have hope. And this is the message that we need to share. Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." You know, not a week goes by that I don't read the paper and see a front page evidence that we live in a fallen, sinful, broken world. It's all around us. So what's the solution? Is the solution to complain? Is it to blame? No. The solution is to proclaim the message from the mountaintops. That Jesus Christ is Lord. That He is good. That He loves us. That He forgives you. That He has the power to set you free. Man, it's an awesome message that we have to proclaim. The last thing that I would like for us to consider is that, first, you have a mission to accomplish. Second, you have a message to proclaim. And then thirdly, you have a ministry to perform. Isaiah said the Messiah would comfort them all who mourn. He also said this in verses 3 and 4, "To grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. And they shall build up the ancient ruins, and they shall rise up the former devastations, and they shall repair the ruined cities and the devastations of many generations." The Messiah's mission and our mission is to build up and to repair. Isaiah described the Messiah's mission in terms of the nation of Israel and Jesus' ministry. We also see it in terms of individuals that their lives were just broken. So such as the woman caught in adultery, or the man born blind, or the demon-possessed man. And in the ministry of the church, as it's recorded in the book of Acts, we see it in terms of racial harmony, being the poor being helped, widows being fed, families coming together through faith in Christ, the gospel being spread to the ends of the earth. And if we set our hearts on people who are hurting, if we look for ways to inject hope into their lives, the result will be that we will fulfill the calling that God has placed on us. both as a church and as individuals. We have a message to proclaim, and we must proclaim it. But our mission on this earth is, in addition to that, there's more to it than that. In 1 John 3:17, it says, "But if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against them, how does God's love abide in him?" The book of James chapter 2 verses 15 through 17. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace and be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. See, a living faith is a real faith. And if we really believe, we will follow through and we'll act upon it. And if we want to live meaningful, purpose-filled lives, on-mission kind of lives, we need to know that we proclaim and then we act. And you know, I'm so encouraged by our church and how we do that. I mean, I think of Thanksgiving outreach. I think of the Christmas outreach that we do and all of the other ways that you guys have participated in reaching out to our community. And God has called us not only to speak the truth, but to demonstrate it in the things we do. And you guys do that so well. And I understand we can't solve the problems of the whole world or even all the problems in our community. But you and I, we've seen it for years that we can make a dent in a few of them when we live out and we live on mission. Peter said that Jesus went around doing good. And that's our mission as well. Offering a message of hope to a world without hope. Demonstrating the healing power of God's love through our actions. So let us not just get muddy, but let us do the hard work of making something out of it. And we do that, our lives have significance. We're not just a dot in a meaningless universe. You and I have the power and the potential to do something meaningful with our lives. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. And God, we pray that during Christmas time that you would remind us that we're all part of building and expanding your kingdom. That Jesus was born so he could die for our sins. And we ask that you would give us a fresh vision for your purpose and mission for our lives. We ask that you would open our eyes, open our ears. God, open our hearts and our minds to the purpose that you have for us. To proclaim the message of hope. To proclaim the message of Jesus who came to this earth. Who lived among us and then died for our sins. God, I pray that this Christmas you would draw us closer to you. As we celebrate the birth of Jesus. God, thank you so much for the gift of living lives on mission. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.